Welcome to the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. On the other side, we got Brawley after a win. What's going on, man?
It's going good. It's been a while since we won a game. I'm glad I can actually talk to you after a win. It feels like it's been about 8 months since we last won a game. But needless to say, it was a massive, massive day for us.
Yeah, it's exciting to finally come away with points, not ruin my weekend. I was feeling it was special. I'm speechless. I don't even know how to do a podcast after a win lately.
Yeah, and it's just good to beat a team that we finally should be beating, because it seems like when they leveled it to go 1-1, not to jump into the middle of the game, but when they leveled it to go 1-1, I was like, well, here we go. We're down. Season over. GG on the season. We're done. We're toast. And thankfully, that was not the case, and we pulled out the win. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was feeling the same way. I was trying to be positive, and going into that match, I really thought we would get a win, but I was nervous. And like you said, when they equalized, I thought, oh my goodness, stadium's going to get ugly and turn on everybody. The players were going to put their heads down like they normally do when they concede, but they came through and got 3 points.
Yeah, and finally, it's just nice to see a resilient team. You kind of hinted at it there, a team that and that was my biggest gripe the whole time under Pellegrini, was the second we concede a goal, everyone just throws in the towel and the game's done. I mean, I could watch those games back at the end of Pellegrini, and some of the more recent Moyes games even, where if we concede a goal, we just look like, well, we can just get them next game maybe. Let's give it a go next game and we're done. But finally, nice to see a fighting spirit and a good mentality and good work rate from every single player from top to bottom. Finally, good to see that.
Absolutely. One of the things that we've complained about the last few times we've done a podcast and months ago when we went on that hiatus, you know, we talked about the lack of energy, lack of effort, and just cohesion with that team. But this weekend was something different. We saw a bounce back against Liverpool, even though they lost. We saw a different team, and they carry that same momentum and energy into the Southampton game, and that's why they got a result.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It does seem like, you know, before we were losing all those games, you know, Moyes was like, oh, we were playing well, we can take positives. And I was just frustrating, patronizing crap that he's spewing to the media, which I get that he's probably saying something totally different behind closed doors when he's speaking with the players. I understand that. But against Liverpool, he did say, he's like, okay, we can take plenty of positives. And I totally agree. And he said, we can carry this momentum into the next game. And I was like, well, in theory, that's great. Hopefully you can actually do that. They did do that. The effort was immense all game long for 90 minutes. We didn't stop trying. We didn't stop running. That's what we've been dying to see. I mean, we could have, if we, like, even the last game, we said it, we can lose games and be okay with it as long as we're trying and we're putting in the effort. If you put in the effort, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get something out of the game. The Liverpool game was the one game where we didn't. So, they scored 3 goals. We only conceded 1 goal. It's been a while since we've only conceded 1, I think. But yeah, I'm just glad, all top to bottom, I'm thrilled with every single one of those players that played that day. And we finally won, so we can kind of dive into the specifics of the game a little bit if you want to. I don't know how in deep you want to go with it.
I don't want to get too in depth, but there was a few things that I was thinking about just today. You know, we are coming to you on Thursday, but now I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of glad that our schedules got caught up and that we had a little miscommunication earlier in the week to take us all the way to Thursday to do this podcast, because today is a special anniversary for me.
Oh, yeah.
Brawley,
well, I'll let you say it.
You can tell Brawley's sarcasm in his excitement there. Today's the best day, my favorite day of the year, March 5th. The anniversary of the 2016 Everton away day for me, my first away game, greatest day of my life. I had to get that out. I'm sorry. I know our listeners hear it every time, but that was a special day, so I had to get that out. But the actual thing I was thinking about today, compared to what we've been doing, talking about the Southampton game, is the goal differential from that City and Liverpool stretch only being -3. We talked about how we wish they went at it. But looking back, I think it was almost very important that we only came out of that -3. Because if you look at the table right now, we're tied on 27 points with 2 other teams, and they have worse goal differential than we do.
Yeah, it could come down to goal difference. That's very true. Hindsight's 2020. You know, you wish you Man City. I mean, I still stand behind the Man City game being an absolute waste of everyone's time.
It's I'm just saying.
No, I know, but yeah, it's nice now that we come out of it with only a minus three goal difference from those two games. I agree with that. It was nice that the Liverpool's fourth goal was offside, and then that didn't count, so that didn't add to it. And it very much could come down to goal difference this season. The way things are shaping up at the bottom of the league, and it's just annoying. It seems like, you know, we get a result, then every other team in the bottom three wins that week, March. And they get out. But yeah, that's just how things go. We don't need to worry about what everyone else is doing. Right now, we control our own destiny because we're out of the bottom three. So if we do our business, then we don't want to have to worry about what everyone else is doing. But we know it doesn't always work like that, does it?
No, I think you said something perfectly last week, which you kind of just hit on again today, was hopefully it doesn't even come down to goal differential when we do the business ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think it's important now, though, like you said, hindsight's 20/20. I think it's important now that we are in this scenario. We got through it. It was a waste of everybody's time. I really wish they would have went for it. But at the same time, here we are. If we get the business done ourselves, we will be in good shape. And I think we are in a position to do that. If we keep playing like we did the last 2 weeks, that energy and that strive that we had against Liverpool and almost won, and that we took into the Southampton game we're about to talk about.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, we have to carry this momentum forward. I think the next three games are going to be very, very difficult, especially the Wolves game. I think I would verge on the edge of saying Wolves is our toughest remaining opponent left this season. Mm-hmm. We still have Arsenal, Spurs, and Chelsea and Man United in that mix. But we haven't even touched Wolves since they've been back in the Premier League. I mean, they have spanked us to every single game that they've played us since they've come up, and rightfully so. They're a great side. But, you know, like when you look at Arsenal, they're beatable. Spurs, I think they're beatable. And then Chelsea are not the same Chelsea. I think they're beatable. We've already beaten them once this year. And then you look at Man United, also beatable. And then we have some of the middle to bottom teams remaining after that. So I think there's a chance for us to get some points come at the end of the season. We've gone past the hardest part of the schedule. Don't get me wrong. Arsenal, Wolves, Spurs, Chelsea's not ideal either. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a very strong chance that we lose all four of those games. Very strong chance. But I think if we can get a couple of points here and there, maybe win one of those four, and we set ourselves up for really positive at the end of the season.
I do want to bring a little bit of negative energy. I love positive energy, and that's what I'd rather be doing. But I do want to say about the end of the schedule that where we could pick up some results against Norwich, against Watford, against Villa. We have those three teams against Burnley.
Newcastle.
And Newcastle. But I will say that if we don't pick up points against those teams, it's double as bad.
We're down, yeah.
So it's we have a really, really good opportunity to control our destiny and get those results. Absolutely. I think so. But what I really do think that if we don't get a result, if we take a loss against any of those teams, it's a 6-point drop. It's a 6-point difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that loss is even more detrimental than against a big side loss.
Yeah, like if you could pick the end of your season based on the final standings of the table, you'd want to be playing the middle pack of teams that are on the beach and ready for Ibiza and get, yeah, they're ready to hit the holidays. And but that the Villa, Watford, and Norwich games will be some must-see TV, I think, because it's going to be players that our players better be giving it their all, but we sure as shit know that they're going to be giving it their all. And of course, Watford this week beats Liverpool 3-0. I mean, why wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. The one game I was like, okay, Liverpool, you can do us a favor here. Thank you, guys. I'm like, I was at the pub watching the West Ham game that morning, and we won. And then I left with the Liverpool fans. I was like, okay, you guys can do us a favor. Thanks. Thanks in advance. You guys are going to do us a solid here. And then what do? They go and shit the absolute bed. Three, I mean, and Liverpool have lost Liverpool have lost three of their last four. And guess who that one was against?
Yep. I'll tell you what.
West Ham United.
And the thing about it is they didn't even play well against us.
No.
And so it was almost an omen that Watford was going to just trounce them. And they did. Let's talk about our game against Southampton.
Yep.
We won. I don't know what else to say. I don't really even want to say anything else. I mean, we'll do it because it's the podcast, but it's really nice to say we won. I could repeat that for another 35 minutes and be happy. I don't really care.
Well, the lineup I wanted to start with, I thought David Moyes finally got a team selection correct. I was like, top to bottom, that's exactly who I would have played, 100% without any questions. Anderson, Lanzini on the bench, like I said last week. I think they did pick the team. I said, if you could find a way to get Haller in there, I think what the only difference that I had last week was I said Snodgrass probably should play, and he decided to play Haller over Snodgrass and play a 4-4-2. Mm-hmm. That's the exact lineup that I would have picked. But I thought in my head last week it would have been harsh on Snoddy to drop him. But he did. And I think Snodgrass is a guy that's okay with whatever role you give him. Obviously, I think he would rather be playing. But right. I think he's a team player and that he will take his responsibility, whatever that responsibility may be. So finally, Ngakia stays at left back or right back, excuse me.
He had a very good game.
Another solid, great game. He looks fantastic. Definitely, definitely our number one right back going forward. Zabaleta is far below him on the pecking order, and Fredericks does not go back into the team if he's healthy. I think Ngakoue has been a breath of fresh air, almost like a new signing, really, since he's come in. And then, obviously, playing Haller and Antonio up front together, magic. And then Bowen, thank God, finally gets a start. The pre-match press conference sounded like Bowen wasn't going to get a chance to start, so I was thrilled to see that.
One of the things about Bowen I thought was exciting to watch is that he was kind of selfish.
Love it.
There was a few times where he didn't make a pass, where he went for the shot, and it didn't really work out. But I loved the energy of like, yo, fuck it, let's do this. I'm gonna get mine. I hope everybody else steps their game. Yeah, and we need that selfish energy. How many times this season? Also, I'm gonna give him a shout out now because he played well. Fornals, but I remember when Fornals was just getting into the side when he just signed and we started doing the pods at the beginning of the season. There's a few times where we were like, dude, step up and be a little selfish. And you know, Bowen had that energy, that energy that was selfish. I don't know what else to say there.
Yeah, the Villa game was the biggest head scratcher for Fornals at the end of the game, 93rd, 94th, 95th minute. He's clean through and he decides to make a silly pass across. And when he could have just taken it on himself, that was when I was like really questionable on Fornals. And now he's really come into his own. He had two assists in the game. That the last one, that cheeky little chip over the top for Antonio, was absolutely fantastic.
And there's Rabona.
Yeah, the Rabona that wasn't ended up in a goal. Yeah, that if Antonio could have finished that off, that would have been one of the goals of the season. In fact, if anyone else does that, like if Liverpool do that or Man City do that, Rabona and don't score, it's like on Twitter 228K retweets and fucking 5 million likes. But yeah, it's West Ham does it, so who cares? But that's typical. We know that.
I mean, Decker's played a great game. The defense played. It was an all around very good performance, and I was pleased. I left watching that game very happy. Like I don't know. I'm not used to this feeling.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say about the game, negative wise, well, actually, never mind. I don't know where I was going with that. I had something in my mind and it just blanked, so I'm an idiot. But anyway, 3-1, we win. I had something negative in my head, but it went away, so that's probably a good sign.
We're not used to the negativity. So rather than finishing off the game, it's 3-1. We're out of the relegation zone. Liverpool don't do us any favors. But let's talk about the energy around the club then. Okay. We get the result. We're now out of the relegation zone. Everything was doom and gloom. But one thing we didn't talk about, which I thought was very successful, was the protest. There was a lot of people at that protest, which was exciting.
Reported 10,000. The Met police reported that they estimated 10,000 people were there. That's a sixth of the stadium was there. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's incredible. That was exciting to see because I told you, and I like being proved wrong. I really don't see protests doing anything, but in hindsight, 10,000 people show up. That was a really good effort, and that was exciting, and I'm proud to see fellow West Ham fans do that because this board is just a mess. But I did want to shout out that the protest efforts and Hammers United and what they did. That was awesome.
Yeah, it should be noted that it was a peaceful protest. that no one was arrested, no one was hurt, so it's not malicious in any way, shape, or form. We didn't go in the stadium and throw coins at the director's booth or anything like that. I mean, it was all peaceful. And the fact that the media keep harping on, oh, West Ham fans are terrible, they need to get behind the team, support the team. And
which
when
they
in
have.
Fact it's been it's re-
we re- have
from Sorry. All the people that I've talked to, it's was the best atmosphere of the game, any game this season, and perhaps of any game at the London Stadium. So the logic that everyone keeps throwing out saying that we need to get behind the team and support the team, obviously they have no idea what they're talking about, because the fans are right behind the players, and we're ready to support the team till the very end of the season. We just don't want the owners in charge anymore, and that's what people can't get their head around. I mean, it's just a joke the way we're being run right now, and people aren't happy with that, and we have every right to voice our opinions on the people up top, because if we don't think they're doing a good job, we have every right to criticize them. So, and that's what big corporations and media seem to not understand right now, and perhaps Golden Sullivan have them in their pockets. That's entirely possible. But I'm sick of hearing ex-players and like that. That dude from Crystal Palace, the former Palace chairman, I can't think of what his name is, on Talk Sport. I listened to him the other day and just wanted to bang my head against the wall, because he just doesn't get it. But we have every right to voice our opinions, and I thought we did a very good job, and then we went in and put in a fantastic atmosphere to London Stadium. So that's all that matters, really.
Yeah, and how do I put this? It's just nice to not sit here. And I wanted to highlight on the protests and highlight on the board, but it's nice to not sit here another week and moan. I don't think people understand how annoying it is to try to podcast about West Ham and have the energy to A, do it, and B, not be the same every single week. Because in reality, we could, of the last few weeks that we did the podcast, we really could sit here and boohoo and moan and complain. The board sucks. The team has no energy. We could do the same thing over and over again. We could probably just copy and paste the previous week's podcast. Like, when it's not fun, it almost makes you not want to do it. But we do anyway, because I like hanging out with my buddy. But I guess my point is, it gets redundant, and it's nice to not have to sit here and whine. That's what I was trying to get at.
Well, yeah, for sure. It's always better after you win, and especially when we put in a shift like that, and we could sit here and actually praise everyone for once, rather than having to slaughter every single player out on that pitch. It gets old, it gets boring, and I feel bad, because really we should do a podcast every week, and the people, I won't say rely on us, but I mean, there are a little small faction of people that we help get through the day, which I appreciate when people send us messages saying, hey, thanks for releasing the pod, great show, it helps us. Like, it means a lot. So I do feel bad when we don't get to do a podcast for a week or two, in the last case, over a month and a half. So we do apologize for that. But yeah, when we're losing and everything's negative, man, it becomes a burden to want to have to sit there and talk and bitch and moan. And like after that Newcastle game early in the season, when we just came and yelled on the what
some
do we call
like
that?
That. No, instant reaction.
Yeah, some people love the instant reactions, but for me, I sit here and I screamed into this microphone for an hour, and I was so absolutely livid the fact that we started Pablo Zabaleta instead of Ryan Fredericks against Alan Saint-Maximin. I still, to this day, I'll remember it for the rest of my life. And if we make that mistake again, at least in Gakia can go up against Alan Saint-Maximin the next time we play Newcastle instead of Zabaleta, or even Fredericks can hang with him, 'cause he's pacey, but that's neither here nor there. But moral of the story,
ridiculous.
It is tough to podcast when we are losing every single game in a row, and we don't want to come in here and just say, bored out this, bored out that. I mean, it gets old and boring, so we like having new discussions to come up with and talk about, especially when they're positive. And
absolutely.
We need to get more fan questions into. One thing we've been forgetting to do is put fan questions out there so we can have a Q&A section, but I'm working on guests as well. In respect, this is a little bit of news that we haven't covered since we last talked. Friend of the show, Bobby Madley, it's public news, so it's not like breaking news or anything, but Bobby Madley has been reinstated by the FA. He has been hired back to work in England. He will start in League One and League Two and work his way back up, but the league has overturned his, I wasn't a suspension. I don't know what you call it, but they're allowing him to go back into England and referee, which I know is what he wants to be doing. So I am so incredibly happy for the guy that he gets to go back and referee. Unfortunately for us, that'll mean we can't talk to him anymore on the podcast, and we'll have to deactivate all the social media. But before he goes back over, I am trying to get him back on for a final chat about his career and VAR and how basically his story of how he got back into refereeing in England. So I am very – and I, if you are on Twitter and on – or on Twitter, yeah, please go congratulate him.
And tell him you want him back on the show one last time.
Yep, and thank him for what he's done for us, because he has created two of my favorite episodes that I have gotten to record for this show. So, so like I said, within the next couple of weeks, he has said he will come back on. We're just trying to nail down a date.
I think it's really cool that he. We talked about it with him. Well, I didn't actually get to do one with him because I've been busy both two times. So I really need to hopefully get this third opportunity here, but. I think one of the coolest things about the Madley interviews, and if you haven't listened, go back and listen to them, he's a really down-to-earth guy that you might think he's a cunt, but when you watch him referee sometimes, and I'm sure if I – and I'd tell him that, and I think I've told him – I messaged him personally. I said, dude, you know, I've called you an asshole plenty of times. But he's a really nice guy outside of the referee, and I think we sometimes objectify players – and referees and managers as objects, you know, and I'm guilty of it as well. Yeah. And I think everyone is.
All football
and
fans
we forget
are.
That they're people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you got to be nice to him because, you know, he gets back on that field and he's refereeing against West Ham. I'm still going to call him a dickhead when he makes a bad call. But after the game, you know, he's actually a really nice guy outside of his actual position. So I think it's a really cool thing that he came on our podcast and had a real life man-to-man chat. Like that was really cool.
And owned up to his mistakes, too. Not only did he talk and was a cool dude, he owned up to every single mistake. I went down the list with him and said – you know, what
he
are
had
your
a whole hit list?
Yeah, I mean, I went over all of them with him, and he said, yeah, I mean, that's why we wish we had VAR at that time, because the Bournemouth debacle would have never, ever happened. That is the case of the perfect video for support of VAR when we didn't have it, why we should have it. That was the case right there. The guy was offside. The guy was offside. He handled it. No, I do hate it. Yes, that is true. But I think we can tweak it to make it so that it's not so shitty. I think there are things that we can do, but I don't know that they're going to do that. That was my whole thing. That's why I said scrap it.
It's funny, though. We talked about that VAR, in theory, is not a bad idea. It's really – I mean, in theory, it's not. It's been the implementation.
Yeah, it's the execution so far. It's been poor.
Been terrible. And I think that's part of the problem and the perception, you know – Again, it's apples to orange because it's a complete different game. But we always talk about it. I don't think NFL replays all that bad. I don't have an issue with it.
I don't think it's apples to oranges.
Yeah, it's because it's a different stop and go.
But
game.
like when they implemented the pass interference challenge after the Rams Saints whole debacle last season, like that was like. You're trying to bring in a whole new rule to get rid of one instance that happened. And this year it proved to be a waste of time because it's such a subjective decision. Like, it's so hard to overturn it. But anyway, I don't think people want to hear us ramble on about VAR because we've had plenty of shows and we didn't have a VAR. But anyway, last point on Bobby Madley. So, guys, yeah, go thank him for that and just wish him the best for his career because I've gotten to know him really well. And what was funny is the other day, when I was at the pub, I had like four people come up to me that I'm friends with on Facebook. And Bobby has commented on a few of my posts recently. And they're like, they came up to me. I was like, dude, I love the fact that Bobby Madley just comments on your posts like you guys are boys. Because it is true. We have become boys. Yeah, we have become friends. And it's just funny to hear what people think about that. Because I have my Newcastle friends come up to me and it's like, tell him he's still a fucking dickhead because he screwed them in the Sunderland. The Tyneweir Derby? Is that the name of the Newcastle Derby?
I'm not going to embarrass myself. So
sure. I believe it's the Tyneweir Derby. Anyway, we're working on getting him back for another episode. And I am trying to get a few other guests in the mix because it is quite boring just to hear the same two voices over and over again, I think.
I think it's funny, though, when you talk about social media and hanging out with Bobby Madley on Facebook and doing a podcast, it's really funny what social media has done for society. For example, you know, that's how I met some of my good friends in England, and that's how I met you, and then how you met Madley. I mean, we wouldn't have this podcast without Twitter and like all these different connections that we've made and how we connected. So I think it's really cool. I wanted to shout out social media because you can message players and they might hit you back up. I mean, Rebecca Lowe.
Yeah. Well,
how do you think we got her or Arlo?
Yep. And we always talk about the negatives of social media. That's all you hear. Like the downsides, like everyone, it makes everyone a troll, blah, blah, blah. But it really does. I have met some of my greatest friends in life on social media now because I would have not gotten to hear from them otherwise. If we didn't have Twitter, I wouldn't have made a bunch of my friends that I met over in England, yourself, for this podcast. It wouldn't exist. I mean, there are plenty of good reasons to be on social media. The bad ones are always the negative always outweighs the good. And that's just the world. That's the life we live. But I am very thankful for my time on Twitter and Facebook and getting to know very special people because of that time. Like football Twitter can be terrible, but it's also an amazing thing. And it's how I've gotten to make so many connections in my life, like get tickets to certain things, meet friends, get to go on these trips with people like the Vegas West Ham event. That wouldn't have been possible without social media. And I've met so many people that I just follow on Twitter and I've become personal friends with them now. So yeah, I mean, I'm all about giving praise to social media. Sometimes it does suck. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of bad things, but I prefer to dwell on the good, not the bad. I tried to anyway.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth because it's going to be a fairly short podcast because we don't have much news or a Q&A. I don't know what happened to the tweet, but we'll figure that out later. I was going to transition to our last point that I think that we were going to talk about unless you have more, but the LA event.
Yeah, well, as you guys have probably already listened to the West Ham Way. By the way, they are back, Dave and X. I'm sure you all know, but I'm glad that they are back and recording because we miss them. And X gives the most news and reliable source, is the best in the biz, basically. So Dave and X will be back this year in the United States at the West Ham Way USA event in Los Angeles, not Las Vegas. Although I do think Dave X and I are going to be making a cheeky pit stop in Las Vegas, which shall be a great time. And by the way, Tony, you hopefully you'll be able to come. We don't know that for a fact yet. Do you, or are you trying to come, or do we know yet?
I've been trying to come for a long time. No, just kidding.
LOL.
Yeah. Talking. Oh God.
Okay. Sound effects.
Yeah. I'm definitely talking to myself and looking at my finances for LA. I just bought a new car, like an actual new car, not a new used car. So I have no money right now. That's why I think I'm done for trips to England this season. I'd like to come over for final day against Villa. But yeah, I'm talking about going to LA. I might do the pit stop in Vegas. I'm not sure how great that would be for me in my situations in the past.
Yeah, we can share a room.
We can share a room. We can keep an eye on me. But LA LA is most likely in the cards for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think my dad's planning on going. So me, my dad, and you can all go and have a great time. I'm sure there's going to be tons of other people there. I know the largest group that was at the Vegas event was the LA Hammers. They by far and away had the most amount of people there. And they were great guys. So I know for a fact not all of them came to Vegas. So that means there will be a ton of LA people at the LA event. So I am excited. I'm a little disappointed it's not in Vegas this year, I must say. I've talked to John. But don't get me wrong. I understand that if you can guarantee yourself an amount of sold tickets, you're going to take that. So LA made the most logistical sense for that. But it sounds like we're still going to be able to get the LA the Las Vegas little side action in maybe one or two nights in Vegas. You never want to spend too much time in Vegas because that could be a bad thing. But yeah, if me, you, Dave X, and my dad hit the town in Vegas, I think that'll be a great time.
Oh, that might be too much fun. We'll see about that.
LA is going to be fun too. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm bashing LA by any means. I've never been. But all I hear is how bad the traffic is, and I'm not really looking forward to that because I hate sitting in traffic at home, let alone anywhere else on Earth. So, but I am so excited for LA. And if you're interested in getting information on the LA event, you can head to the www.westhamwayusa.com where you can get all the info there. I believe we are planning on the second week of August, which would be the first week of the Premier League season, the second week of the championship. So either way, hopefully, fingers crossed, have a game. Hopefully it's on a Saturday. But yeah, we'll see. So if you want more information, go there and we'll be able to sort yourself out there. You can buy tickets there as well.
Yeah, I've never been to LA, so I'm pretty excited. I've been all around the world, all across the country. And LA, I've never been to California, so I'm pretty excited for that.
Cool, yeah.
Hopefully a beach. I don't know. Maybe I need to lose a little bit of weight first before we start going to the beach, but we'll see.
You and me both. I've been dieting for since the beginning of January. I started in January at 250 pounds, and I am now down to, as of this morning, 229. I'm on my way down. Hopefully I'll have a nice beach bod by the time I get there. Probably not, because I still like to eat. That's my problem. I think I would be losing a lot more weight if I cut out all the crappy food, but, you know, it is what it is. It's baby steps, right?
Baby steps. All right. So I don't have anything else this week. Do you have anything else?
I want to do one other little segment. Yes.
Ooh.
So Dave X, nothing crazy. Dave and X did this on their show, and I don't really want to copy them, but I do at the same time because I think it's good discussion. But I want to go down the list. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 10 remaining games.
Okay.
So I want us to go down the list and just predict win, loss, draw for all three of these, and let's add up the points of what we think.
All right. Are you going to add it up or?
Yeah, I can do that. Yep. So nope, I got one. It's fine. So starting with this weekend, Arsenal away on Saturday at 9 a.m. Win, loss, draw.
Loss.
Okay, so Tony says 0. I say we get a draw. So that's one. And then the next fixture is Wolves at home.
Win. 3.
Ow. I'm going to go loss. Next match is Spurs away.
0.
We lose that one. I'm going to say we win. So
really? Do you think we're going to go to White Hart Lane or new White Hart Lane and beat them 2 years in a row? I don't know about that.
Yep, I do. So, okay, win at Spurs away, and then Chelsea at home.
Draw.
I say we lose that one. Newcastle away.
Loss.
I'm going to agree with you there. It doesn't seem like we ever win at Newcastle, although we have. We have plenty of times, but I don't know why Newcastle seem to be our bogey team lately. Burnley at home.
Draw.
I'm going to say
I think
win.
Tough to break down.
I think they are, but I think they might be on the beach by then, hopefully. Norwich away.
3.
I'm going to say we lose, and that could be a killer. That could be a killer in our season right there. Watford at home.
Win.
3 points there. I'm going to go for a draw at Watford.
I'll go 3 there. I feel 3 there.
Man United away.
Loss.
0. I'll go for a win there.
Ugh.
I think we can beat them there. I don't think they're anything special. And then final day of the season, Villa at home.
3. Win.
And then I'm going to go for a draw, I think. So that's what our season comes down to. So you total up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You gave us 14 points coming down at the end of the season. So we are currently sitting on 27. So that puts us at what, 41? That's 41. That might be the line. I gave us 3, 6, 9, 10, 11. I gave us 11 points, and I think that would be us down. And that's 38. So, I mean,
you gave us, I think, oh, man, I don't know. I think it was interesting that we didn't finally. Folks, this is revolutionary podcasting for the West Ham Way USA podcast that we didn't agree on majority of those results.
A correction, I gave us 12, not 11. 12. So that
12
puts
plus
us
27
39.
Would be 39. Oof.
39. And what, I mean, what's the line going to be this year? Usually it's 40. So I
think
that's how
I have a plus one. You have as minus one.
That's how close it's going to be. I mean, that's what we're up against. To put things in perspective, there is a very, very, very large possibility we still go down this year. Now, I don't want to be the negative guy.
I know we just had a fun podcast.
Well, no, I said if we would have lost against Southampton, we're down. I said
if we lost against Southampton, we'd be down. Absolutely,
we're down. So I mean, we have some winnable fixtures, and we got some banana skins on that list. So I just wanted to see where you put us at, where I put us at, and that just shows you. I think Dave had us at 39 and X had us at 41. I think it came down to almost the exact same numbers. So I was just curious to see. And then if you have any input on that, please get in touch with us on Twitter at West Ham Way US Pod. I would like to know what you have us at for the rest of the season. Should be interesting, but this just shows you how tight it's going to be, because I don't think that we could have two of the three bottom teams get out of it, I think, that are currently in the bottom three. It wouldn't surprise me if Brighton gets sucked down in there. And I put a little bit of money on this. My Newcastle friends aren't going to like it, but I put $20 on Newcastle to get relegated at plus 700. For those in England, that's 7-1. Yeah.
That's not a bad shout at all.
They haven't scored in four games in the league. They just beat West Brom in the FA Cup. But yeah, I put a little cheeky.
Well, enter West Ham.
Well, that's true. Also,
I know
yeah.
it's a little bit down the line, but you know,
yeah, 5 weeks from now we play them. They beat us 5-0 probably for the score their first five goals in like 9,000 minutes of football. But anyway, that's what I wanted to close on. Just puts it in perspective how dangerous of a battle we are really in at the moment. So, I don't have anything else other than that. I'm hungry. I think I'm gonna go get some dinner with my wife.
And I'm hungry, and I'm going to go get some dinner with myself. So.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Yeah, lonely. Anyway, that's about it. Do you want to take us out with all the good stuff that I always mess up?
Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter, like I said earlier, at West Ham Way US Pod. If you want to, please go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We really would appreciate that. If you have any criticisms or any nice things you want to say to us, you can shoot us an email at WestHamWayUSApod@gmail.com. Other than that, signing off from St. Louis, Missouri, I'm Brawley Darbin, Tony Clark, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We will talk to you guys after we thrash Arsenal this coming weekend. And until then, we'll see you next time.